Chapter 9. Jack Thayer's Story. A young man walked into the library and Georgette pointed to him. "That's Jack Thayer," she said. "I introduced you to him this morning. He's here with his mother. His father died on the Titanic." She gestured to him and he walked towards us. "Jack, do you remember Charlotte Thomas? Come and sit with us." "Hello," he said. His blue eyes were very sad. "Hello." I smiled at him. "Georgette just told me about last night. How are you?" "I'm lucky to be here," was his answer. "What happened to you?" I asked. Then I felt embarrassed and apologised. "I'm sorry, that was very rude. You don't have to tell me." "It's okay," said Jack, looking at his hands. "I need to talk about it." Georgette and I listened to Jack's story. "I was getting ready for bed when I felt the boat sway a little. I told my parents I was going up on deck. It was very cold outside and I saw some pieces of ice on the deck. An officer told me we had hit an iceberg. I noticed that the ship was leaning to one side and this seemed very strange. The captain was talking to Mr. Andrews, the Titanic's architect. And I heard the architect say that the ship could sink in an hour. I didn't think he was serious because it was simply impossible to imagine. The Titanic couldn't sink. I went back to my cabin to alert my parents and explain that something serious had happened. They didn't panic either. My mother said, "An iceberg? How can an iceberg damage an enormous luxury ship like this? It will be okay. They'll solve the problem." On deck, I saw my friend Milton Long. There was a lot of noise. The crew were shooting rockets and the orchestra was playing loudly. Officers were telling women to climb into the lifeboats. Someone closed the gates to the third-class cabins and the passengers behind the gates began to shout and push. We were looking for a lifeboat for my mother, but there were so many people that I lost my parents in the crowd. I was alone with Milton. That was the last time I saw my father. I still can't believe that. Jack looked very emotional and we didn't know what to say. He took a sip of water and then continued with his story. It was then about 1:30 a.m. The front of the ship started to sink and there was a lot of water on the deck. There was a loud noise from one of the chimneys and the band was still playing. I remember thinking, why are they playing music during such chaos? There were only two lifeboats and so many people that Milton and I couldn't get in. I wanted to jump into the water, but Milton told me to wait. We waited until about 2:15 a.m. I heard explosions inside the ship and water began to rush towards us. It sounded like a train travelling quickly over a bridge. Milton and I said goodbye to each other. While I was putting on my life jacket, he climbed over the railing and jumped. He disappeared under the water. I think he died immediately. I was terrified, but I jumped as far away from the ship as possible. I couldn't breathe in the freezing water. I swam and then turned to look at the Titanic about 40 meters away. The people on deck were running away from the water. There were more explosions and the sound of metal tearing. One of my hands touched a lifeboat. There were five people on the boat and they pulled me onto it. The Titanic was rising into the air. I saw groups of people hanging on the railings and others falling into the water. The ship stayed there for about a minute and then sank into the sea. There are no words to describe that terrible moment. More men climbed onto the boat. We prayed, trying to stay positive, but I thought constantly about my parents and Milton. Harold Bride, one of the Titanic's radio operators, was with us. He told us that the Carpathia was coming to rescue us as fast as possible. There was nothing to do but wait. At 4 a.m, we saw her in the distance, and we knew we would survive. At 6:30 a.m, we climbed on board the Carpathia and the sun was up. I'll never forget the warm rays on my skin. I knew I was so lucky. Jack stopped talking and looked at his hands. "But so many weren't lucky," he added. "I was delighted to find my mother among the survivors on the Carpathia. But then she told me about my father and my world collapsed." "I'm so sorry about your father and Milton," I said. "Thank you," said Jack. He looked around the room. "Have you noticed that all the different classes are sitting together? That's unusual." "Yes," said Georgette. "It's easy to be friends on a ship, especially after the disaster we all experienced together. But when we arrive in New York, everyone will remember who they are. Class differences are so strong, you'll see." Jack nodded. "Maybe this time it'll be different," he said. I wanted to believe it would be different, but the stories of the survivors had shown me just how important the class structure was and how it divided people. People from different classes just couldn't be friends.